Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Wow. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Nick here. What do you think of the new intro flavor, the intro music? Wanted to add a little style to the show. So welcome to the Private Labeler Show. And on this podcast episode, we are going to be talking about finding the perfect winning private label product to start sourcing and selling on Amazon. So that's what the bulk of this podcast episode is going to focus on. It's definitely, in my opinion, one of the most important steps in the entire process of private labeling and selling on Amazon. And before we kind of dive in here, I just want to kind of go over a few things. And, you know, honestly, I was looking at, just before I jumped on here, I was looking at the date and kind of shocked me. It's the 27th of January in 2016. And I was just kind of looking going, wow, that's crazy. I feel like January just started. I know that happens every year, but man, I'm definitely fired up about this year. I haven't lost any of my fire. Hopefully you haven't either. But I just realized we're almost a month in and I'm trying to kind of just reflect a little bit here and just see how far I've come in a month. So ask yourself that, you know, are you still grinding away out there, pushing hard on your resolutions and your goals? Are you still as fired up as you were the 1st of January? If not, let's get fired up together, guys. I pretty religiously go to a local gym down the street from my house. And I know typically the first like week or so of January, it's, you know, it's crowded in there. It's packed. There's a ton of people. And, you know, everybody's got the big dream and resolution, you know, to finally get healthy and to lose weight and to feel better about themselves. And, you know, I know that I have to kind of deal with that for like the first week or two. And then it usually kind of goes back down to normal because a lot of people quit their resolutions or their goals already. And, you know, I got to kind of hand it to the people of my town here. We're almost a month in and every day when I go to that gym, it's like, you know, it's still the same amount of people. It's packed in there. So people are definitely fired up, obviously, about their health. You know, not many people let off on their resolutions yet. So ask yourself, is that you? Are you still fired up about your Amazon business here? All the goals and the plans that you set kind of coming into this year, how is that working for you? Are you still pushing hard on your plans and whatnot of creating a massive monster Amazon empire? So if you're kind of slacking off a little bit there, you know, let's get going. Let's do this together. It is my goal. If you haven't listened to the first two episodes of this podcast, it's my goal to help 1,000, yes, 1,000 people quit their job and start or basically build their Amazon empire larger than they ever thought possible. So I'm all about trying to help people realize the potential of Amazon out there and give them or provide or show them that there's a way to do this to give themselves freedom from the rat race and the 9-to-5. So are you going to be one of those 1,000 people? I hope so. And I'm going to do everything I can to help you succeed selling private label products on Amazon. So a couple quick notes here. If you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please go to privatelabelershow.com and click on one of the subscribe tabs or buttons and just simply drop in your email and I will notify you anytime I have new content or new podcast coming out. And then also click on one of the buttons for the Facebook group and join up on there to get connected to the Facebook Mastermind group, just to get into the community of like-minded individuals and get your questions answered and, you know, join the others. And then lastly, just check out the resources page on privatelabelershow.com. If you are just jumping into private labeling on Amazon, there's a ton of tools that you kind of need. A lot of them are super important to help you become successful in your Amazon business. So check out some of the resource page items. I'm constantly updating it with things that I specifically use or that I know others have success using. So check that out as well. So let's get going here, guys. Let's start the show, as Gary Vaynerchuk would say. So this podcast is dedicated to helping you navigate through the field of finding your, I don't want to say just first, but just finding a good or rock star private label product to sell on Amazon. So in my opinion, if you do this step wrong and you pick the wrong product, you know, it's going to be kind of tough goings for you down the road when you're just realizing months in that your product's just never going to sell. So it's super important that you take action here and really, really, you know, take this serious that you have to find the right product. And unfortunately, a lot of times people almost overanalyze this step. And that's what I see with a ton of people getting into private labeling or that want to. They'll spend months, 6 months, whatever, trying to find a product to sell. And they just analyze it to death. And then they never take action going forward. So we don't want to overanalyze it. We want to just follow a simple formula that I'll kind of lay out here for you. And basically just push forward and, get, and you know, go through it and take the action necessary to get that product up and running. That's kind of the biggest hurdle in this whole process here. So first things first, in my opinion, you're definitely going to need to evaluate your budget. A lot of people kind of teaching the Amazon private labeling out there. You know, one of the things, you know, that they don't always mention is that, yeah, this does cost a good or sometimes, you know, a decent chunk of money. You know, you can't just go into this with $0. You're going to need money for inventory. You're going to need money for shipping. You're going to need, you know, money for different things that a lot of times people don't anticipate. And then all of a sudden when they start talking to a supplier and the supplier's like, yeah, that sample you want is going to cost you, you know, $70. They start freaking out about that. So I just want you to be aware that you need to analyze your budget first and say, hey, what am I comfortable spending on this business? You have to treat this as a business, okay? This isn't just something you do every once in a while on the weekends. I mean, if you're going to get serious about this, you have to look at this as everything you're spending on this is for your business and it's an investment, okay? So, you know, just think about that and how much you are willing to invest in this business to become successful. The next thing that you're going to want to do is start to discover a niche or category that you're passionate about. Now, why do I say something that you're passionate about? Well, I find a lot of times when I see people's private label products that the products that they're selling are, you know, they're kind of crazy or weird, or, you know, kind of look at them and go, why would they do that, or whatever it may be. You know, I always encourage people to find items or businesses or products that they actually care about, because I feel that, you know, if you're selling something that you have no interest in whatsoever, I don't feel that you're going to get excited to get out of bed every day to plug away, to grind on that business if you hate the product. Chances are, if you don't like the product, you don't like the customers, you just, you know, you're just doing it for the money. And in my opinion, you're not going to last very long. You know, I just really encourage people to, you know, think about niches or categories or just general products that they're actually interested in. So, you know, if you're interested in health and fitness, maybe you're really into yoga, maybe you're really into weightlifting, whatever it may be, that might be a potential idea of, you know, where you could potentially create some products within that niche. So just think about those kinds of things. Don't just go for the product that makes sense. Find the product that makes sense in the niche that you actually like or the category that you actually like, something that you would use yourself. So that's really important. And that's essentially my secret sauce for, you know, a successful long-term business selling on Amazon or just private labeling in general. If you love the products you sell, you're going to want to keep going every day, in my opinion. Now, a couple of quick categories that I would kind of recommend for beginners would be the home and garden, sports and outdoors, and pet supplies. So you could obviously try other categories on Amazon. There's, you know, really no limit to what you can pursue. But if you're a beginner, those are kind of the main categories when you go on the Amazon.com page that I recommend you kind of jumping into and figure out, you know, what subcategories in there are interesting to you. Like, let's say, for example, you really like cooking. You're passionate about cooking. Maybe you're not a chef in your, you know, real life, but you always kind of wanted to be. Well, here's your chance to maybe explore those passions and start creating some cooking supplies or, you know, stuff around the kitchen that you would use for cooking. So just kind of think about those kinds of things. Now, categories to avoid. Take this kind of just lightly here that when I say this, I don't mean this as a blanket statement for every private labeler to avoid these categories. I just mean that if you're kind of new to private labeling, these categories can just be kind of red flags or just really difficult to get into. Some of them require deep pockets and some experience. The categories that I generally would avoid would be like health supplements, supplements in general, just anything to do with that. There's a ton of money to be made there, but it's pretty ruthless. So I think you're best served going elsewhere. Also, like larger things like giant appliances, things like that. That's just really expensive to ship. That wouldn't really recommend it. And then other categories such as cameras, photos, jewelry, watches, and then some of electronics. Now, not to say that you can't try electronics, but for your first go around, maybe you want to avoid that, but and then maybe swing back around later to electronics if that's something that you are interested in. So the next thing that you're going to do, essentially step three here, you're going to kind of run or follow these simple guidelines. Now, a lot of the courses out there, they teach this kind of the similar stuff, and there's a reason for it. If you're first going at private labeling here, you want to make sure that the product that you end up selecting passes these tests. You want to make sure that it's a fairly simple product with minimal moving parts. Okay, so chances are if it's got a lot of moving parts, people are going to break that item and you're going to have to deal with unhappy customers and returns. And, you know, that's just stuff that on your first go around, you're not really going to want to deal with. Now, the other thing you want to make sure is try to avoid items that are made of glass. I see all the time in the Facebook groups, people saying, hey, once they got, you know, their merchandise in from wherever they got it from, China or whatever, a lot of the products ended up broken right off the bat. So I would just generally avoid, you know, things made of glass or things that are going to break easy. And ideally, you're going to want to look for items that are priced between $15 and $40 on Amazon. Now, you can go a little higher, go a little lower, but that's just a general rule of thumb in my book. Reason why I wouldn't really go much lower than 15 though is typically there's not going to be a lot of profit left or a lot of meat left on that bone after all said and done. So you're in this business to make money, you're in this business to make profit and build an empire here, and you know you generally want to just go after things set between that $15 and $40 mark. And then also too, make sure that item is around 2 pounds or less, and it's small enough that it could essentially fit in like a small box or like a shoe box, just, you know, for visual purposes there. Now, why would you want to follow that criteria? Well, if you have really heavy, large items, that's going to cost you a ton of money on shipping. And again, if you're experienced, you might not care about that. And, you know, you're going to go after larger items, but, you know, that might be served for you down the road. But for now, focus on something that's under 2 pounds and that can fit in a shoebox. And then lastly here for the general guidelines on your product, you want to make sure that the product that you're going to go after ultimately doesn't have patents on it by another company. And if you go to www.uspto.gov/patent, and I'll put that in the show notes, so if you really care enough, you can Google it, but I'll put it in the show notes for you. You can go to that website and search if the potential product or company has any patents on the item that you're looking at. You just want to be cautious of that and don't want to step on anybody's toes going after an item that, you know, you really shouldn't be going after for specific reasons. So always do a quick patent check to make sure that you're good to go. Okay, so moving along here. Hopefully you're getting some value out of this so far. And, the next step, I guess, step four for you here is you want to start brainstorming ideas, okay? Just kind of let your mind run wild. Now, you can go to Amazon.com to do this. You can go to the store, like go to even Walmart or to the pet store or wherever, and start looking at products and go to those, like if you're going to Walmart and you're interested in cooking, you know, walk down those aisles and just start to get ideas, you know, what's going to fit the criteria I just mentioned. And, you know, just, you know, start jotting things down, take your cell phone out, start entering notes and start taking pictures. You know, do that at the grocery store even too, or when you're out and about, if you go to the Walmart, they got the superstores there, just walk around a little bit. You'll get some really awesome ideas. I promise you. Also look around your house. What did you recently purchase on Amazon? You know, what's sitting around your house? What's smaller, what's lightweight, what fits that criteria? And start jotting those ideas down. You know, maybe open up a spreadsheet and really just start plugging away. You're going to, you know, want to get really accustomed to putting a lot of this data into spreadsheets overall. So I just recommend opening up Excel or just a sheet of paper if you don't want to do that. If you do want to just start on Amazon, though, to start searching for ideas, you can go to the Amazon bestsellers list. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well, or just Google Amazon bestsellers list. And from there, you'll be able to get all the categories on Amazon and the top sellers to start giving you some ideas. Now, you know, that's kind of the general run through that you can do just to start to get the juices in your mind flowing, if you will, on where you want to take this. And trust me, you're going to have all these different ideas. You're going to, you know, come up with, you know, a huge list, and, you know, just let your mind run wild, let it happen. And a lot of them, yeah, you're not going to actually follow through on, but, you know, just kind of go nuts on it. So now what you're going to want to do then is eventually start evaluating those ideas. Okay. So come up with that list, cruise into the categories that are recommended on Amazon, cruise into the bestsellers list. And that's what a lot of people will teach you, is just, you know, go right to the bestsellers list of Amazon and find something in a category that you like and go from there. Well, that's okay to, in my opinion, to start out with on the Amazon bestsellers list, but here's the deal. In my opinion, a lot of these courses out there, maybe you've been through a few of them, are going to teach you that same thing. And you have to think logically here that if there are thousands upon thousands of people just like you following the same exact methods to find products on Amazon, chances are, you know, you're going to be competing with, you know, a bunch of other private labelers in your same position on the same products, because everybody's just kind of going it at the surface of the bestsellers list and just picking items off of there. And I see it time and time again where I see private labelers that are promoting their items, and it's like the same item over and over and over again. There's no differentiation. It's literally like the same item. And I always advise people to dig a little deeper on that bestsellers list. Go into some of the subcategories. Don't just go with, you know, what you see on the first page or two. Kind of dive a little deeper, and you're going to see that the competition is a little bit less the further you dive in and the further you go in. So if you're just picking items that are in the, like, let's say in the bestsellers list of home and garden or the cooking niche, if you're just kind of going off the first page, you're going to have just, you know, fierce competition. And if you're not afraid of competition, and if you have the pockets, the deep pockets to kind of outspend everybody else on advertising, then by all means, go ahead. But in my opinion, dive a little deeper, you know, go down into the pages a little bit further and find some of the hidden gems. And then from there, you know, start building your list out. And then basically what you're going to want to do is start evaluating those potential ideas that you have. You're going to want to see if there's demand first, really. That's kind of the main thing. Check in to see if there's demand. So step five here, you can check for demand in a couple of different ways to make sure that the item that you're thinking of actually has a demand and has a big enough market so that you can potentially jump in and grab a piece of that pie. Now, if you don't have any tools to do this, okay, so my suggestion here is that, let's say you're interested in doing some research on a grilling accessory. Maybe that's something you're interested in, and you've kind of done a little bit of research so far, and you want to take this a little bit further to see if there's demand there and how things are selling. Go on to Amazon.com, and simply type in like the general keyword for the item that you're interested in. So if you're thinking about selling maybe a grill brush or some grilling accessory, you know, type in grill brush into your search bar, and you're going to get obviously a giant list. And what you're going to want to do is pull that list up and start clicking on each individual, each individual listing there. And, you know, start with the first one and kind of go down the line. And you're going to want to look at the bestsellers rank of all those listings, okay? So take like the first six and just write it out, you know, where they're at on the, for the bestsellers rank. So if you don't know where to find that, usually you scroll down the page. It's in the product details section. It'll show you the Amazon bestsellers rank, and it'll say it's ranked number, you know, 900 or 1200 or whatever it may be. And what you're going to want to do for like the first five or six items there is just make note of the bestsellers rank, okay? And you're going to want to just kind of verify that there's actual demand for that product. Now, if the first few have like a really low BSR, so if they're like well under 5,000, let's just say, for an average category, you know you're kind of in business. But all of a sudden, let's say after like the first two or three, it drops off dramatically. Like the BSRs are on all those listings, maybe from four on up, are just shooting through the roof. Let's say they go up to 20,000 and then 50,000 and 100,000. Then there's a chance that that item just doesn't have enough demand for you to really jump in on, and you may want to just consider deleting it from your list. But if you notice, you know, maybe the first five or six, they all have a really low BSR, you know, some have 5,000 or lower, and, you know, kind of just right in that general range. And, you know, all the other listings kind of stay, you know, close to that, you know, that 5,000 rank, then there's a chance that you could jump in on that and potentially fit in and grab a piece of that pie. So again, just evaluate the bestsellers rank as you go down through that list. So if you're well onto like page two and, you know, you notice that a lot of the listings are still with really low BSRs, like, you know, at that point, 5,000 or under, or 10,000 or under, or whatever it may be, then there's a really good chance that, again, that might be something you're interested in, and just keep it on your list. Now, the faster method, and this is the method I recommend, is that you actually just go with a little tool called Jungle Scout. And basically, when I first started out, I did it the slow method that I just kind of described. And I remember when I was looking for my first private label product, it was taking me forever. I mean, it was like nerve-wracking. I was going back and forth and crunching data and writing everything down and, you know, clicking on 1,000 different things. And it just really became kind of annoying, and it wasn't exciting by any means. So I came across a really awesome Google Chrome extension that you can put on your browser. It's called Jungle Scout. And I'll put, again, notes in the bottom of the listing after the show is over that you can check out. So check out Jungle Scout. And basically what it is, it's a cool extension that pulls up data on products and gives you like a chart, essentially. Instead of you having to click on everything, it just gives you the information quickly. Okay. So if you have the Jungle Scout extension already, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, pick it up. I'll put the links so you can take a look at it and decide if it's right for you. It's a total time saver, in my opinion. Now with the Jungle Scout method, basically what you can do is pull up the Jungle Scout report for that item. And what you can do then is look at the estimated sales category on the Jungle Scout chart and look at roughly like the first 10 products that show up and add up the estimated sales of all 10 of those products. And in theory, if all 10 of those products added up for estimated sales are greater than 3,000 roughly. Again, this is going to vary per category and everything. This isn't an exact figure for every single item ever on Amazon. This is just a general rule of thumb. If there are more than 3,000 sales amongst the top 10 listings for that item, then there's a chance that that's showing that there's really good demand and that you could potentially get into that market because there's just enough demand. There's enough people searching for that for you potentially to kind of get in on that action there. So that's kind of the fast method, and you can kind of crush through your list of ideas just, you know, by clicking a few buttons and adding up a column or two. And you know, basically if you have Jungle Scout, again, it's going to save you time. So once you kind of narrow your list down and throw away the ones that there's just not enough demand for, and kind of fine tune and look at, you know, the list that you have created here, you're going to dig a little bit deeper. So kind of going on to the next step here, you're going to want to then start looking at things like the reviews and things like the pictures and the listings of all these listings out there. So if you're still stuck on Grillbrush here, you're going to want to look at like the first handful of listings there in a deeper setting here and evaluate, do they have good pictures? Okay. Do they have a good title? Do they have a good description? Could you do better? And, you know, take a look at how many reviews they have. And if, let's say the first page, all the products there have, you know, 500 plus reviews, thousands of reviews for all of them, then there's a really good chance you're going to want to avoid that, because it's going to be really difficult for you to start competing anywhere on that first page if there are just way too many reviews to compete with. It might be a longer term proposition for you. So if you find maybe like halfway down the page, you know, the item is still selling well and it's only got like 100 reviews or less, then there's a chance that you might go, okay, I could get to that point fairly quick and compete and, you know, take a little bit of that pie, you know, in this market here. So just evaluate that. Look at, you know, the pictures. If the pictures are kind of lacking or they're not very high quality, you know, just think to your mind like you're going to have really high quality photos and you could do a better job there. And you could possibly outrank that person down the road if you get the reviews up, so on and so forth. So just, you know, take note of everything. And then the biggest thing that I would recommend that you do is take a look at what the customers are saying in the reviews. So if you're kind of liking where you're, you know, what a product is showing in terms of results, the BSRs, the reviews, if it looks like you might potentially be able to grab a piece of that pie, then look at the competitor reviews and, you know, take note of what customers love about those products and what they don't like about those products. And if you are noticing that for, you know, all the products on that page that nobody is addressing a certain problem that customers are kind of screaming, saying, you know, we're giving you negative reviews on this because we don't like X. Take note of that and go, okay, wow, nobody is seeing this. Here's an opportunity here that if I created a product or a grill brush or whatever, I could, you know, take care of that. I could add that feature, or, you know, take care of those complaints and potentially focus in on those types of customers and therefore dominate that market down the road once I build, you know, the listing up. So the gold is really in the reviews, in my opinion. So you know, definitely dive into there. And then obviously things that are selling or that are getting a lot of positive recognition in the reviews and all those listings, take note of that, because you're going to want to make sure that the product that you potentially sell meets all those criteria as well. So, you know, you're just going to want to do that deep dive, get your spreadsheet out, take the notes for each item and kind of figure out where the opportunities lie and if there's is a chance that you can kind of jump in. And now another thing I'd recommend that you do, and this is how you can find a lot of really cool products to potentially source and sell, is look at some of the top sellers, you know, the top 2, 3, 4 sellers for that product, and find their listings and click on their company name or sold by, and you'll be able to see all the other stuff that they sell. And the reason why you'd want to click that and look at that is all of a sudden it's going to open up your eyes to all these potential, you know, product ideas for you to start looking into that you would have never even thought of. Okay. And they might be related directly to, you know, your, initial product that you want to look at. But yeah, that's, you know, again, some of these people have already done the research and, you know, they've already vetted it and they put those products up there. So if you look at what somebody else has already done and going, okay, you know, this isn't a super common item that everybody else is doing and they're making a killing on this item. Wow. You know, there's still room here for myself or for others. I'm going to jump onto that product instead of the one I thought of to begin with. So, you know, there's some other nuggets there for you as far as looking at what other people are selling. So after you get kind of done diving deep into all those listings and evaluating the reviews and evaluating the listings, you're going to want to start running some numbers. Okay. And this is really important because I do see from time to time, people posting on Facebook groups or whatever that, you know, they, after all said and done, after they're paying the Amazon FBA fees, after they're paying pay-per-click advertising fees, and all the other miscellaneous fees associated with selling, that they're not left with much on the bone for profit. And it's kind of discouraging for people that they put all that work in and they're not getting much out of it. It's just kind of like, it's a little bit of money, but it's not enough to get them excited. So if you run your numbers beforehand, that should never really be an issue, because you're going to know exactly, or at least pretty close to where you're going to come out at the end anytime you sell that product. So what you're going to do is, let's say you found a winner in grill brushes and you've evaluated the market and you determined that there is room for you and there are still some people like with under 100 reviews with a really low BSR making good money, and you could improve the pictures, you can improve the grill brush a little bit and the listing and all that. Now what you want to do is actually go and see how much roughly is it going to cost per unit for this grill brush as a theoretical example. Now, you can go to sites like Alibaba.com, you've probably heard of that, or AliExpress.com, or even GlobalSources.com. And I'll put all those again in the show notes. So go to those sites and just type in grill brush or whatever your item is, and it's going to give you a giant list of potential suppliers that make all sorts of variations and different types of grill brushes. And you're going to want to find something that's similar to what you're going for. And basically on those pages, it's going to show you a general price of what it might cost per unit right on that page right there. It'll tell you just a general price. Now, don't take that as fact. There's variables there on quantities, and if you do any modifications, it might change the price. So just use that as like a general idea of, it's going to cost me, you know, $3 or $4 per unit for this based on some of the suppliers' listings for that product. So you're going to want to make note of, you know, a general price for what that's going to cost. And another thing you got to know too is, yes, it does cost money to ship that product to the Amazon warehouses, or to where, you know, if you're in the United States, to your house or whatever it may be. So a lot of people don't configure these, you know, certain prices in there. They just think the product price and that's it. Well, there are fees, obviously, with, you know, import taxes and customs and all that, and getting the product into the United States or wherever the warehouse is that you're sending it to. And you're going to want to make sure that you kind of give yourself a little bit of a buffer on your numbers there. So you're going to want to run some numbers, figure out how much that product might cost, factor in some shipping, an inspection fee and import fees that, you know, I kind of mentioned, and you're going to add that on top to your product costs. Well, again, you're not going to know like 100% exact numbers at this point. You're going to want to kind of ballpark things a little bit at this stage. And what you can do then is, next, after you kind of write those numbers down, is you go to the Amazon FBA fee calculator, and I'll put a link, and, or you could just Google that. And you can essentially find out how much it would cost for the Amazon fees every time you sell that product. So you're going to find a competitor that's selling that product on Amazon and take the information from their listing and just insert it into the fee calculator. And Amazon's going to calculate a general idea of what it would cost for the FBA fees to sell that product. Okay. So after you have that information, you know, have everything written down or put into a spreadsheet, you're going to want to figure out, you know, what's a general price that you could potentially sell that product at. So is it $25? You know, that's the ultimate price that you ideally would want to sell this visionary product or this idea of this product that you have. Maybe that's what the competition's kind of selling it for, so you can maybe ballpark it. So let's say you're selling for $25, and let's say the product costs you $6. From the supplier to your door with all the fees and, you know, all that stuff built in and the shipping and all that stuff. And then maybe just the Amazon fees with some other things on top of there, just to be conservative, that's going to cost you maybe $7 every time you sell it or whatever, if you're factoring in some pay-per-click and things like that. And let's say you kind of come up with a profit of $12. So that's kind of just quick math right there. And that gives you the test of, okay, I at least want to have enough profit here that every time I sell one of these things, it's worth my time. The general rule of thumb is, yeah, you want to be in double-digit profit. Now, that's not true for every single product being sold on Amazon, but for your first go-around, make sure there's enough profit or going to be enough profit there that it's worth your time. Now, some items that some sellers sell, there might be only a dollar or two profit, but they're pushing out such massive quantities of these items on a day-to-day basis that they don't care that that's just the market and it's just that competitive. But ideally, yes, you want to have at least $10 or more of profit to make things worth your while. So hopefully that kind of clears that up and gives you some ideas. But you know, just run some general numbers. And again, if you get lost on some of this stuff, post the question in the Facebook group and we can get you helped out with that. So what you're going to do then is start running some numbers on your list then, and basically delete the losers that aren't worth your time and keep the winners. So maybe you've narrowed down your winners list to, you know, two or three different items at this point, or two or three different product ideas. That's kind of ideal. And you know, the next thing you're really going to want to do once you have that list is start tracking the, you know, the competition for these items. So sometimes when you go into your listing, or not your listing, but like your competitors' listings, you might see them having a really awesome BSR. They might be at like, you know, 1,000 or, you know, 1,500, and you're thinking, wow, that, you know, they're really kicking butt. But you might not realize that they're actually in the middle of a huge promotion or a huge giveaway. So, you know, their numbers are going to be inflated for the next few days or whatever it may be. So take that into consideration. And what you're going to want to do is start tracking the competitors for like a week or so and evaluating how much are they fluctuating? Are they staying the same for BSR, or are they going way up and way down? And you can use tools like Camel, Camel, Camel. So go to camelcamelcamel.com and you can track your competitors' products and evaluate the sales history. So you're going to want to, you know, take these ideas and even dive even deeper and start evaluating that. And it's a really great site. It's free to use. And then also using a site called Google Trends. So if you just go to Google Trends, and you can start to look at what are the trends for this product that or niche that you have or this idea, and start evaluating, you know, is this a growing trend? Is this product that I'm selling in a popular field that is only growing, or is it kind of a dying, you know, something that's dying out that isn't as popular anymore? And also be able to evaluate, you know, seasonal trends and think about things like that. So for example, if you're selling, you know, something that's just sold in summer, well, you have to think about things like that, where, you know, your sales might be really awful in winter and, you know, you just kind of have to deal with it. But, you know, ideally you want to find an item that can theoretically be used and sold year round. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to do that, you know, or think of it that way. But in my opinion, you're going to want to make sure that you're, you know, you're creating sales 12 months out of the year and not just three or four. So, you know, basically, yeah, the, you know, you're going to want to track the competition, see where they're kind of going. And then after that week or so, you're going to want to make a decision. You're going to want to start taking action. And, you know, if you have, you know, that list maybe narrowed down to one or two product ideas at this point, ultimately, you know, go with your gut, pick what you think is right. And, you know, basically just take action. Like I said, so here's the step where a lot of people just stop. They get to this point and then they become unsure of themselves. Don't be that person. Okay. This is your business here, and this is something you're going to grow into an empire. So you're going to want to make sure that, you know, your gut saying that this is a really great product to try out. And, you know, if the numbers match up and if it passes all the smell tests I just talked about, then just go for it. Okay. And then you can go on to the next steps. The worst thing that can happen, and this is probably the worst thing for most people, is that if your product doesn't really sell like you thought it was going to, and it's, you know, kind of tough goings, here's what's the worst that's going to happen. You're probably going to recoup your funds eventually and maybe break even. And the only thing you're out really is just a little bit of time. But what you gain out of that is just a ton of clarity and knowledge. There's no failure in this. There's only feedback. So you don't necessarily fail at a product. You just gain feedback of what not to do and what to do better next time around. So don't ever think you're just going to lose, you know, all of your money on this by any means. I mean, that in theory could happen, but worst case scenario, like I said, is you might just break even if, you know, you kind of pick the wrong product. But be confident in your product and, you know, make it work. If you run the numbers, like I said, it shouldn't be a problem. And it's all a learning experience, and there's a learning curve to this. But ultimately, you're going to have to decide and, you know, go for that single product. Or if you feel comfortable handling two products at once, by all means, do it. But if not, I would recommend maybe just sticking with just one if you're just starting out. So that was kind of a mouthful, but I felt that picking your first product, and if you know you haven't picked one yet, it kind of warrants a lot of conversation around that, making sure that you're doing it the right way. And you know, basically what I just mentioned to you here and all these steps isn't like the definite end-all be-all guide on it. Certainly, if you listen to other podcasts or other shows or other go through other courses for training, they might have other things that they recommend. And certainly, you know, there are other ideas around this process. So, you know, take what I said as just kind of a generalization overall if you're just getting started. If you have more experience, you know, you probably handle things a little bit differently. So, if you took notes on this, great. If not, what I actually have is essentially everything I just mentioned to you broken down into a guide. It's a 9-step guide, and I am posting that on privatelabelershow.com. So if you look at the buttons, you'll see a link that you can click to get this sent to your inbox. So if you're kind of, you know, struggling to keep up with everything I just said there, don't worry. You can get everything I just told you and in more detail sent right to your inbox. So just click the link on the privatelabelershow.com site. And let me just look here. It'll say how to pick a product, download the guide. It's like a little banner on the side of the page. Just enter an email and I'll send it right to your email. And that way you'll get kind of the full breakdown of all the details I discussed and more, to kind of get you going and moving along there. So hopefully this was helpful for you. And big thing I can kind of just keep saying is take some action. Just do it. Just get it going. Do the research and make it happen. Again, it's almost the end of January. And if you're kind of still shuffling your feet on this, it's time to get going. It's time to pick a product and get moving to the next steps. Because there's a lot of other steps after this, clearly. But this is by and large part one of the most important steps, as I mentioned. So that about does it for today's episode. Let me know if you have any questions, comments, concerns. Join the Facebook group. Ask me there. Leave a comment on the podcast if you want as well. If you have any questions there that you want me to answer on the next couple podcasts, let me know and I'll do that. So that about does it. And want to encourage you to subscribe, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Please go on the page and subscribe. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Have yourself an awesome day. Bye.